Thank you for listening to Spudworks Radio. Now we've got a short story selection from the site, spudworks.com, titled Hanging Old Glory. One of my neighbors, in the wake of the World Trade Center falling, got the bright idea to hang his huge United States flag across the street in order to display his support, patriotism, or something else along those lines. I was indifferent. It wasn't that I didn't care so much as I was as apolitical a person as could be. In my bathroom hung a Soviet flag I'd picked up at a garage sale once for a couple of bucks. I wasn't a communist. I liked the historical significance. That was my weakness, my fondness of all things in the past. As strange as it may sound, I liked the way the streets were quiet and the unusually reserved voices my fellow New Yorkers seemed to assume in the days after. I wasn't sure what it reminded me of, but I felt that by hanging the flag, I would be in some way reenacting history, and that was enough for me. My neighbor didn't live next door to me. He lived across the street, in the apartment on the same floor as mine. The two of us had never spoken before then, and wouldn't have recognized each other on the street had we bumped into one another, which made him contacting me something of a chore. I was sitting out on my fire escape with a bottle and a half of wine, and another empty bottle lying on its side, precariously close to rolling off and falling five stories down. I didn't have a glass, just a corkscrew and a desire to drink. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed someone half out their window waving at me. Knowing that what I was doing was a fire hazard, and maybe just stupid, I restored the empty bottle to a standing position and waved back, thanking him for his concern, but he did not desist. He was saying something that, for the life of me, I couldn't understand. I'd always had a problem with my hearing. When my dad took me to the doctor once to see if I was partially deaf, the doctor shook his head and said no, that I was either too distracted to hear what was said or too stupid to get it the first time. That was the last time we went back to that doctor. Shakily, I stood up, bracing myself against the railing, and leaned over, focusing on his words, but I still couldn't understand. I began to wonder if it was even English. I shook my head at him and pointed to my ear in the universal sign of, "I can't fucking hear you." He frowned in return and retreated inside. A few minutes later, he was back, and I heard him shout while I was in the middle of finishing off my second bottle. It must have been arts and crafts day in his household because he'd made a sign. "What's your phone number?" Part of me wondered if he was hitting on me, and the same part told me to see if I couldn't put a bottle through his window, but something more sensible and drowned in alcohol said that he probably wanted to say something. I weighed the two voices and eventually decided that the second was the correct one, but lacked the materials in my apartment to make a sign like his to deliver the information back. I sat there for a second, wishing I'd paid attention in Cub Scouts during the smoke signal lessons, when a better idea occurred to me. I lifted two bottles and pushed them back and forth four times. He looked at me like I was a gifted student for a minute, then, on the back of the sign, wrote a big number 8 and held it up. I pumped my thumb in the air, giving him the international sign of, "You got it, guy," then gave him the rest of my digits via bottle, and waited for his phone call. It rang seconds after the last number had been sent. As I picked it up, I wondered that, since he was the sign maker after all, why didn't he write out his phone number and save us the 15 minutes of devising an entirely new means of communication? "Hello?" I asked, curious what this whole thing was about. It had ruined the nice, even buzz I had, and I was a little bit more than upset over the whole thing. "Hey," he said in return, "I've got an idea I want to run past you." "Okay," I said. "Shoot." I was still out on my fire escape and was watching him pace back and forth with excitement over his idea. It was not infectious. "I've got this big flag and I want to hang it. And I need your help." A picture crossed my mind then of a man who had seen his neighbor drunk and wandering around his small apartment the night before naked, who was now using this idea of a flag to pick up on a guy in what seemed to be his most regular state. "How big is it?" I asked. "What?" "The flag, man. The flag." He asked me to meet him down on the street, and I agreed, even though I knew that the stairs would be more than a little bit dangerous in my condition. After hanging up the phone, I put on a pair of sneakers and took each step carefully so as not to tumble and hurt something more severe than I did every night to my liver. I was amazed at first when I noticed that I had beat him to the street, but it faded as I watched him emerge from his front door. Rolled up and tossed over his shoulder was a flag that was a little longer than the two of us lying head to toe. He wrestled it out the door and dropped it with a little ceremony on the sidewalk, a little too close to my toes. "That's a big flag," was all I could say. He didn't respond, and I lit a cigarette for lack of anything better to do. "How do you plan on hanging it?" "Well," he said, panting from his struggle, "I was thinking we could string it up from our fire escapes." "That's nice, but how do you plan on doing that?" His plan involved me forking up the cash for some rope that we would then toss across the street with the flag already attached. It wasn't a bad plan, except that it was his idea and that I was going to be the one paying for the whole thing. I took a little satisfaction in knowing that he was going to be the one who would have to lug his symbol of patriotism back up to the fifth floor and then headed off to the hardware store. I could only wonder what the big guys behind the counter thought upon seeing a kid approach with long hair, a distinct odor of alcohol, and about 100 feet of rope. Thankfully, they didn't ask any questions. I doubt they would have believed me anyway. Back in my apartment, I summoned one of the few things I did learn from Cub Scouts and split the rope into two parts. One was a little longer than the width of the street, and the other, the remainder. I then tied the second part to the end of the first and stepped out on my fire escape to test out my delivery device. It was then that I realized I had a problem. My plan was to swing the rope above my head like a lasso and then let it sail over to his side, where he would then secure the flag to the longer side, which I would then pull back and attach both pieces to our railing. The problem was, I didn't have enough room to swing. On test throws, the furthest I could reach was the middle of the street. A crowd had gathered on the sidewalks, and I was beginning to loathe the whole project. He was lucky that I had spent $50 on the rope, or I would have quit to finish off my bottles of wine. As it was, I thought of a new way to send the string over to him. Tying the end to the railing, I flung the rest to my roof, which was only 6 or 7 feet above me, then stepped inside to head up. Standing on the roof, I realized that I had more than enough room to get that baby up to speed and winked at my neighbor, giving him the universal sign of, "We're set to go." I swung so hard I almost lost my balance, then heaved it in his direction. I made my mark. It hit him in his face, hard, and he went down with a bloody lip. But the rope stayed on his fire escape, so I went back down on the mine, and the people below cheered my successful throw. Pulling the rope back across was easy until Old Glory draped over and hung freely above the pavement. It was every bit as heavy as it looked earlier on the street, and it almost pulled me over the side. I looked down and decided that falling was not something I wanted to do that day, so I braced myself to tug it my way. When the two of us were satisfied that it was as centered as it was going to get, we tied off both our ends and held up our arms like boxers after a fight for the approval of our audience. We got it in spades. I popped the cork on my last bottle and gave myself a healthy dose. I knew that someone down there was going to tell their friends about what they saw, and it felt good. It was the best wine I'd ever tasted. The next day, with the hangover I knew I deserved, I made my way down to the pet store. My fish were hungry, and I'd neglected to buy them food for too long. The September sun was bright, and I tried to keep my eyes to the ground when I noticed that I had walked into a patch where the light was decidedly red. Shading my brow, I glanced up to see that the people one street over from where I had lived hung a flag twice the size of the one I wrestled with the day before. Standing in its shadow, I silently thought about the last time my fish ate, decided that it hadn't been so long after all, and turned around in the direction of the nearest liquor store. The story you just heard was titled Hanging Old Glory. For more interesting fiction, check out spudworks.com. Now, back to our regular programming.